This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hello, this is Dennis Pratt reading today the USA Today Friday edition, the opinions and the money section. This is usually read by Jerry O'Connell and his lovely wife, Bernie, but they were unable to do it today. So stick with me for the next hour, and I will read the USA Today Friday edition. So let's start with the opinion page. The first opinion starts with a headline, "Protesters Should Learn What Genocide Is." This was written by Alicia Weisel. It was freshman year. I was home for a holiday weekend, and the nation was awaiting the outcome of a Supreme Court case that was the talk of campus. Over dinner, I shared my views. "The right to burn the flag," I told my parents with 18-year-old certainty, "is a far more beautiful thing than the flag itself. We should be inspired when we see the flag being burned, because it means we are free." I can count on one hand the number of times I saw my father, Nobel Peace Prize laureate Elie Wiesel, angry. This is the only time I can remember him being angry at me. My father's face darkened as he pushed back his chair and stood up from the table. Quote, "If you had been there," he said in a voice I had never heard him use before, "if you had been there when Buchenwald was liberated, if you had seen that flag being carried that day, Dad, if you knew what the flag meant to the soldiers who had seen their brothers killed, trying to reach us," my father, a Holocaust survivor, said to me. "If you knew what that flag meant to me then and means to me now, you would never utter such foolishness at my table." End quote. History I needed to hear. I was ashamed. My obsession with one truth, that civil liberties were a treasure to be protected, had prevented me from seeing a truth that stood just as strongly beside it. Not everything that is legal is right. Not everything can be said should. My parents had endured unspeakable horrors to arrive at this promised, if imperfect, land, to make common cause with their most deeply held values. I had been not only ungrateful, but blind. I tell you this story to share how he taught. What he didn't do mattered as much as what he did. My father didn't threaten to cut off my tuition. He didn't love me any less the next day. But symbols have meaning. Words have meaning. There was history I needed to hear to inform the ideological viewpoint I was developing, and he made sure I heard it. To be young is to explore. Students are expected to experiment with different ideas and world views, and universities, like parents, have a responsibility to guide them. Not every student in the ongoing pro-Palestinian demonstrations has burned the American flag or screamed death to America or exposed fervor for Osama bin Laden, although these are shocking moments caught on camera that we cannot unsee or unhear. But by the hundreds, they are shouting genocidal phrases in a cult-like call-and-response fashion, led by demagogue extremists who have taken over their campuses. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Globalize the Intifada. We don't want two states. We want all of 48. Why are so many taking part in this call to violence? Some are surely there not because they have a deep understanding of the Middle East, nor even necessarily tremendous empathy, but for the excitement, the illusion of camaraderie, the chance to demonstrate to their classmates that they are as righteous and revolutionary as anyone else. The demagogues offer them a chance to be part of the club. All you need to do is treat the Jews as the other, the one nation not allowed to defend itself from rape, terror, and murder. And surely some are there out of genuine compassion and the desire to follow their conscience. We have no way of knowing what is in their hearts, but all who chant these slogans must agree to the same price. Blame the Jews. Universities are obliged to allow free speech. They are also obliged to make sure that every one of their students can attend their classes free of harassment and verbal assault. But above all, universities are obliged to teach. Our enemies accuse us of colonizing Palestine. Where are the professors of history who have studied the archaeological and written records, which include the New Testament and the Quran, that connect the ancient Jews to Israel? Why are they silent? Our enemies insist that the Jews do not need our own nation. Where are the faculty who should be pointing out that when European Jewry needed shelter from the Nazis, no other nation would offer them refuge? Our enemies accuse Israel of genocide. Where are the history lessons on the blood libel, the history precedent for accusing Jews of murder, on the repeated Palestinian rejection of Israel's offers of self-rule, land, and peace that dispel the genocide lie completely, on the actual definition of genocide? It's time for university leaders to do their job, teach. Universities need to deliver severe consequences for the extremists who have fanned this hatred on campus. For all the other students involved, universities should create a path for education and forgiveness without shying away from pointing out the depth of their error. What might have happened? What might have been prevented? Had German universities given students the knowledge to question what they were taught about the Jews in 1930s? What if enough students had decided to stop parroting the words their classmates uttered? What if they had broken free of the machine that slaughtered my family? If anti-Semitism depends on the context, then give these students the context they need to temper their ideology, just as my father did for me so many years ago. It's time for university leaders to do their job. It's time for them to teach. Elisha Weisel is the son of Marion Weisel and Nobel Peace Prize laureate Elie Weisel. Our second opinion is written by Chris Brennan of USA Today. If Trump breaks gag order again, jail him. Trump can't control himself. To do so would be to acknowledge a flaw in how he behaves. So he attacks and attacks and attacks. Donald Trump spent most of his adult life testing the limits of what he can get away with. That way of life cost him $9,000 for contempt of court and the first of his four criminal trials. Trump had been repeatedly warned, but, like in previous court cases, could not control himself. His next transgression, and history strongly suggests there will be another, must sting more than a four-figure fine for a billionaire politician who raises millions from his supporters by playing victim to being held accountable. New York Judge Juan Merchan must jail Trump for at least one night if he steps out of bounds again. It might be the only way to get through to him. Control freak has to sit quietly in court, not something he loves. Trump is a control freak, freaked out by his lack of control in a dingy Manhattan courtroom. He must sit still and silently listen to the seedy allegations against him. Michael Cohen, a once loyal lawyer and fixer, will spell out at some point in the trial exactly how he says Trump paid $130,000 in 2016 to keep a porn star quiet about a sexual encounter out of fear that it could impact the presidential election that year. Stormy Daniels, the adult film star, gets a shot at telling her story too, and she's not so impressed with the defendant, who long styled himself as New York City's most interesting Lothario celebrity. Their testimony will deconstruct the story of Trump as told by Trump, and the notion that he commands fealty from his inner circle. Trump was already primed to erupt. He continually complains about how cold the courtroom is. He seems convinced the courtroom artist is out to get him. And hours in court inhibit his well-known habit of downing Diet Cokes, which may contribute to his tendency to nod off while an audience mocks him. Things in the courthouse aren't going great for Trump. Merchan's order finding Trump in contempt Tuesday could be the thing that prompts his next gag order violating outburst. The judge cites seven posts Trump made on his social media site, Truth Social, and two posts on his campaign website this month as violations of the order. Each one carried a $1,000 fine, and he must remove the posts. But in Merchan's conclusion, that shows the real looming threat. The order warns that the court will not tolerate continued willful violations of its lawful orders, and that, if necessary and appropriate under the circumstances, it will impose an incarceratory punishment. That's what the prosecutors have asked for if Trump violates the order, and they've played a winning hand so far. Merchan agreed with them in 9 out of 10 instances where they accuse Trump of crossing the line. And Trump's defense in challenging those claims was so inadequate that the judge warned his lawyer last week, quote, "You are losing all credibility," end quote. Trump has been awake long enough in this trial to know that things are going badly for him, and there's nothing he can do about it. So we've got prosecutors who want Trump jailed if he violates the order again, and we have a judge who seems willing to jail Trump if necessary. How will Trump respond? Trump seems comfortable being in contempt of court. We know from his recent civil court defeats that Trump doesn't learn much of a lesson about contempt on his first or second try. He was found to be in contempt 2 years ago for not turning over documents in a New York civil case that accused his company of engaging in business fraud and how it valued properties. That put in place a $10,000 per day fine that eventually reached $110,000 before Trump paid up. During a civil trial in October, New York Supreme Court Justice Arthur Engoron fined Trump $5,000 for contempt of court for a social media post attacking his court clerk, and then $10,000 the following week when Trump repeated the attack while speaking with reporters outside the courtroom. Trump lost that case in February, and the $454 million verdict stands as he appeals. We can expect more of the same from Control Freak. Trump also pushed his luck in another civil case that ended with a verdict holding him liable for defaming the writer E. Jean Carroll. Judge Lewis Kaplan, hearing the case that ended with Trump on the hook for $83.3 million in punitive and compensatory damages, threatened at one point to have Trump removed from the courtroom for loudly muttering during testimony. Quote, "Mr. Trump, I hope I don't have to consider excluding you from the trial," end quote, Kaplan warned Trump. Quote, "I understand you're probably eager for me to do that," end quote. Quote, Trump says, "I would love it," Trump told the judge. You just can't control yourself in these circumstances, apparently, Kaplan said to that. That's the ballgame for Trump. He can't control himself. To do so would be to acknowledge a flaw in how he behaves. He can never muster that type of introspection. So Trump attacks and attacks and attacks. That's what he's likely to do here. It's the only way of thinking. He's boxed in by his own lack of imagination. So box Trump in for real. If he pulls another stunt, put him behind bars. Lock the cell door. Feed him jail food. Make him follow jail rules and a jail schedule. Finally, take control of the Control Freak, if only to let him know it can't happen. Follow USA Today elections columnist Chris Brennan on X, formerly known as Twitter, at @ChrisBrennan. Time now for the money section of USA Today. Let's start with Moneyline. Bumble unveils feature to empower women users. Bumble is giving women more ways to make their first move as it introduced a new feature on the dating app Tuesday. Since 2014, Bumble is a dating app that has been woman-centric, allowing women have control of their dating lives. Opening Moves is a new Bumble feature that gives women the chance to make their move without the hassle of an uncomfortable conversation. The feature allows women to choose a prompt question or create their own question that they want potential suitors to answer, after which a conversation can begin. The feature goal is to empower women to have more control and options in dating. Bumble wrote on its website, quote, "In listening to our community, many have shared their exhaustion with the current online dating experience, and for some, that includes making the first move," end quote. Bumble CEO Lydianne Jones said in the news release. "We're also hearing from women that empowerment today is not only about control, but it's also about agency," Jones said. Second money line, Southwest compensation starts for 2022 meltdown. Southwest Airlines said it launched a compensation program for flight delays as part of a $140 million U.S. Department of Transportation settlement over the carrier's meltdown in December 2022 during a busy holiday travel period. Southwest agreed in December 2023 to provide $90 million in travel vouchers of $75 or more over 3 years to passengers delayed at least 3 hours getting to their final destinations because of an airline-caused issue or cancellation, and to start the program by April 30th. The airline said Monday it had launched the program April 16 and already has heard from a few thousand customers seeking vouchers. The airline agreed to the compensation program after the holiday meltdown that resulted in 16,900 flight cancellations and stranded 2 million passengers. The settlement included a $35 million cash fine. Moneyline number three, Royal Caribbean suspends stops in Haiti. Royal Caribbean International has suspended stops at private destinations Labadee in Haiti through the summer amid continued violence in the country. Quote, "Our global security and intel team is closely monitoring the evolving situation in Haiti, and in an abundance of caution, we have suspended all visits to Labadee fleet-wide through September 2024, a spokesman for the cruise line said in an emailed statement. The line previously suspended numerous planned calls to Labadee following a fresh gang violence that prompted the country to declare a state of emergency in early March. The U.S. State Department has had a level 4 advisory in place since before President Jovenel Moise was assassinated in 2021. About 2,500 people were killed or injured as a result of gang violence in Haiti in the first quarter of 2024, according to the United Nations. Our next article is written by Olivia Evans, Louisville Courier Journal, USA Today Network. Se habla español? GE Appliances has created a Spanish language washer. GE Appliances, a hire company, has prided itself on a history of innovation, with much of it occurring at Louisville, Kentucky-based Appliance Park. Now GE Appliances is innovating again with its all-new Spanish language washer and dryer set to target it toward the company's Hispanic buyers, with a control panel in Spanish and other features based on cultural preferences. Quote, "This is the first, as we know it, Spanish washing machine in the U.S. that's purely in Spanish," said David Wilson, Senior Commercial Director of Cloves Care at GE Appliances. Quote, hopefully it becomes the next big innovation product for us. End quote. Wilson and Monica Martinez, a senior design engineer in the laundry division, said the product was born from the company's Hispanic-focused employee resource group. About 3 or 4 years ago, employees in the Latin Roots ERG started asking if it would be possible to create a washing machine and dryer that showcase Spanish language features. It turned out they weren't the only ones wondering. GE Appliances found, through its usage of co-creation, the idea of creating new products with consumers and team members rather than just for them. There was a desire for a product like this in the United States, from Chicago to Louisville, from Miami to New York, Wilson said. Here's what we know about the recently launched GE Appliances Spanish language washer and dryer set. What are some features of the Spanish language washer and dryer? Through in-home product testing with consumers in highly concentrated Hispanic areas across the U.S., such as McAllen, Texas, the GE Appliances team found Hispanic customers placing translated labels on the machines, Wilson said. Martinez, who is originally from Puerto Rico and has been in Louisville for 7 years, said, though she is fluent in English, a product like this would help her because she finds herself predominantly thinking in Spanish. Having a machine that speaks the same language would ease some of the mental power needed to do basic chores such as laundry. To address the language barrier of an everyday task, the Spanish language washer and dryer features a control panel entirely in Spanish. Martinez, who worked on the translation for the product, said the goal was to use, quote, universal Spanish, taking into account the various ways things can be said in different Spanish-speaking regions. If you're able to buy an appliance in your native language, why not do it? Martinez said. I think it's going to be a hit for people that prefer to speak or think in their native language because it's going to be more of a convenience and simplicity. The in-home product testing also found many Hispanic consumers using large wash basins to create deep soaks for laundry, as well as additional scrubbing measures, Wilson added. The new product line features additional washing options. Quote, it's not just a translation, Wilson said. We could have said, take our English model and translate it, but that's not authentic. It's much more than that. It's how we develop cycles and how we make this model specific to the people using it. The product features settings such as Anadia Gramojo, which adds 20 minutes of soaking to any cycle, and Más Intenso, which includes and combines soaking with additional agitation to mimic what the company saw from its customers. Other features include Eco Frio, which reduces energy usage, and Nivel de Agua, which also allows users to manually add up to 26 gallons of water for deeper washing needs. Where is the Spanish language washer and dryer available? The washer and dryer, which have entered mass production at the Louisville-based manufacturing plant, are now available at major retailers such as Best Buy, Costco, Home Depot, and Lowe's. Independent retailers that sell GE appliances and online at GEappliances.com. The manufacturer's suggested retail price for the product is $799 for the washer and electric dryer, and $899 for the gas dryer, falling in line with other best-selling basic model washers and dryers made from GE Appliances. Will the creation of this product mean more jobs for Louisville? The success of this product could be good for Louisville, too, potentially creating more jobs in the metro. Quote, if this product does very, very well, as we're expecting it to, that does mean more jobs because it's more production. We could potentially have another shift, Wilson said. GE Appliances hopes a product aimed at an undeserved consumer group will make a chore, such as laundry, more equitable and accessible to consumers. Quote, GE Appliances has long delivered meaningful household solutions, and our first Spanish language washer furthers that goal, Wilson said. Quote, as technology is changing, so is the demographic makeup of America's households, and this specifically designed laundry solution represents our commitments to delivering products for all and taking into account what matters most to Hispanic customers. Now it's time for our weekly Tech Talk article. How to get the most out of AI while using chatbots. ChatGPT has changed my life and yours, even if you don't use it as much as I do. And this is written by Kim Commando. You've probably noticed the new artificial intelligence search bar in all the Meta apps, including Facebook and Instagram. It won't be long before all your most used apps and services integrate chatbots. Yes, I'm sure the folks at Google are quaking in their search boots. Don't wait to get comfortable with AI. Try out a few of these prompts and flex your chatbot muscle. You'll see how easy they are to use. To save you time, recently I uploaded a commercial building's rent roll, profit and loss statement, and comps for the area. I asked ChatGPT to analyze the data and see if it's a good investment. Sure, I know how to do the math myself, but it would have taken 30 minutes. No joke, it took me longer to upload the documents than it did for ChatGPT to come up with the answer, about 30 seconds. The best part is it laid out the calculations and reasoning so I could analyze them myself and double-check its work. If you don't get that with your answer, you can always ask something like, how did you make that decision? Or tell me how you got that answer. To make a decision when you can't. There's a term for this, decision fatigue. Sometimes you've had to pick so many things in 1 week that you just can't do it again. Try these. I'm having 3 friends over for dinner tomorrow. One is a vegetarian and one is allergic to peanuts. What should I make for dinner? Or, my mother-in-law is asking for my help choosing a destination for a family vacation. Last year, we went to Rosemary Beach in Florida, and everyone complained the water was too warm. We live in Houston, and no one wants to fly more than 5 hours. Can you give me some options? To help you do complex things, say You're a human resources manager and must create an employee guide from scratch. That's a heck of a lot of work. And you'd likely end up heading to a search engine to see where to begin. A chatbot can do that, too, and even create an outline for you. This bears emphasis. Do not use an LLM chatbot to create legal documents or anything that really needs a lawyer or other professionals to touch. But as a starting place, absolutely. To be an impartial third party. You're arguing with a friend, your spouse, or a relative, or maybe you're in a contentious situation with someone professionally. Before you text or type an angry reply, consult someone with that emotion attached to the situation, your chatbot of choice. Here's a prompt idea. My roommate and I are arguing because she keeps leaving her dirty dishes in the sink for days, even though they're attracting bugs. How can I respectfully make the point that I need her to stop this? To analyze information, this is an AI sweet spot. The technology excels at finding patterns and pointing them out. Here are a couple of examples to get started. Here's a 20-page legal document. Summarize the main points for me. These are customer reviews. Break them into percentages by negative, neutral, and positive. Like that, you have valuable data and don't have to spend time parsing it yourself. To help you find the right words, say you're hiring a contractor to build a nice new website for your small business. The problem is you don't speak website and aren't sure where to begin. AI to the rescue. Find some sites you like, the ones you see and think, wow, I want one like this. Put all those URLs into your favorite chat box and ask it for a detailed description of their shared elements and overlap design. This can help you communicate what you want much more eloquently. To do the boring task for you. You're going on vacation. Use your last bit of willpower to finish the work you need to. AI can write your out-of-office email. Remember, the more detail and direction you give, the better. Write an out-of-office email. Will give you bland or totally unusable results. Try something like, write an out-of-office email letting my contacts know I'll be back to work on Monday. I will have limited access to email and will respond by next Wednesday. To brainstorm things to do, let's stick with the vacation example. Your big trip is in 2 weeks, and you have no clue what to do with the kids in the city you're visiting. Before you make the travel blog rounds, try a chat bot. Learn about all the latest technology on the Kim Komando Show, the nation's largest weekend radio talk show. For her daily tips, free newsletters, and more, visit her website, Komando, and that's spelled K-O-M-A-N-D-O. Our next money story is written by Nathan Diller. You can book concerts, Pixar replica, on Airbnb. A new crop of listings from Airbnb might have you making some tweaks to your bucket list. The booking platform unveiled its, quote, icons category on Wednesday. A collection of one-of-a-kind stays and experiences. Guests can book such listings as a stay in a replica of Carl Fredrickson's house from Disney and Pixar's Up in Albuquerque, New Mexico. They can be suspended up to 50 feet in the air by a crane while guests are outside, with over 8,000 balloons attached for good measure, or a living room concert by rapper Doja Cat. The category expands on similar listing Airbnb has offered in the past, such as Barbie's Malibu Dream House. One of the core ideas of Airbnb is that you can step inside someone else's world, CEO Brian Chesky told USA Today. Today, he said the company began wondering if it could apply that to fantastical worlds customers might only dream about. Quote, I think when you take something that was only in your imagination and you make that real, it creates a sense of magic, he added. What can guests expect from Airbnb icons? Airbnb is launching icons with 11 options and will add more on a rolling basis. Those include an overnight stay at the Ferrari Museum in Maranello, Italy. Quote, you'll sleep on a bed crafted from the same leather as Ferrari seats. Take a lap with Scuderia Ferrari ambassador driver Marc Genet and head to Emilia Romagna's premier race as a VIP, the company said in a news release. One listing offers views of the 2024 Paris Olympics opening ceremony from the Musée d'Orsay, with its clock room turned into a bedroom by Mathieu Lehenier, who designed the torch and cauldron for this summer's games. Another opens Prince's Minneapolis house from the 1984 rock musical movie Purple Rain to guests. The stay features a studio session with rare and special tracks as well. The icons category is featured on the homepage of Airbnb's website and app, with a countdown clock showing when a listing will become available. Users can then request to book. Quote, people are just going to be asked to fill out their profile on Airbnb, answer some questions about why they want to stay, and then we'll kind of randomly narrow it into a set of submissions. And then we're going to read every one of those submissions and pick people. And I think this is just a way to create a little of that Willy Wonka type joy and surprise. Fittingly, guests who are chosen will get a digital golden ticket. The company plans to distribute more than 4,000 of those this year. How much do Airbnb icons cost? The majority of listings in the category are free, but all cost less than $100 per guest. Those who book will be responsible for any travel costs, however. Chesky said he sees icons as the beginning of the next chapter for Airbnb. Quote, I feel like if we can make a 40,000-pound house lift through the sky, we can do anything, he said. The next story is written by Gabe Harari. Walmart launches a new grocery brand called Better Goods. Walmart is launching its own private food brand called Better Goods, the company announced Tuesday. Better Goods is a new elevated experience that delivers quality, unique, chef-inspired food at an incredible value, the grocery giant said in a news release. Walmart called the new brand a fresh take on the culinary experience with elevated taste, while also noting its approachability and affordability. The company also said Better Goods is thoughtfully curated by Walmart's product development team and aims to bring exciting culinary concepts directly to customers. According to the news release, Better Goods items range in price from under $2 to under $15, with most products available for under $5. The brand offers 300 items that include snacks, beverages, soups, and coffee, among many other categories. Walmart says Better Goods items will fall within three distinct category pillars, including culinary experiences, items that spotlight innovated recipes, elevated ingredients, and food trend-forward offerings, including specialty salts and seasonings. Plant-based. These products feature distinct green branding. Made without. This category offers a variety of options that cater to different dietary lifestyles, like gluten-free, or made without artificial flavors, colorings, or added sugars. Today's customers expect more from the private brands they purchase. They want affordable quality products to elevate their overall food experience, says Scott Morris, Senior Vice President of Private Brands, Food, and Consumables at Walmart, in the news release. The launch of Better Goods delivers on that customer need in a meaningful way, Morris added. Better Goods is more than just a new private brand. It's a commitment to our customers that they can enjoy unique culinary flavors at the incredible value Walmart delivers, Morris said. Better Goods products are available now in store and on Walmart.com for curbside pickup and same-day delivery, with the full line continuing to roll out over the coming months, according to Walmart. Walmart to close all 51 health centers in 5 states. Walmart announced Tuesday it plans to close all of its health centers across the United States that for 5 years provided low-cost medical care to patients. The company will shutter its network of 51 health clinics located in 5 states, along with its telehealth business. The impending closure signified that Walmart is scuttling its plans to expand the services wider, citing the escalating operating costs and challenging reimbursement environment, the company said in a news release. We determined there is not a sustainable business model for us to continue, the company said in a statement. We understand this change affects lives, the patients who receive care, the associates and providers who deliver care, and the communities who supported us along the way. Well, that's it for all the opinions and money stories today. I know in the past, Bernie and Jerry like to read a few of the stories that are coming from the 50 states. So, carrying on with that tradition, I will do so as we try to fill out the rest of the time left. We'll start closer to home. So right now, Indiana, South Bend. 93 years after the death of historically revered Notre Dame football coach Newt Rockne, his casket was exhumed and reburied at the Cedar Grove Cemetery at the University of Notre Dame. Kentucky, Highland Heights. Northern Kentucky University announced that it is launching Kentucky's first artificial intelligence degree program this fall. NKU's program is one of the first in the region. Columbus, Ohio. A new Ohio bill would require state approval training for anyone who serves alcohol if it becomes law. The bill would require all liquor permit holders and their employees to complete a training program approved by the Superintendent of Liquor Control. now from Nashville, Tennessee, an emerged city and county that struggles with gun violence. Nashville police have seized more than 15,000 firearms just in the past 6 years. So what happens to most of those guns? Police store them indefinitely. Tennessee is one of a handful of states that prohibit police agencies from destroying guns seized in crimes or recovered in buyback programs. Instead, some departments sell the guns at auction or trade them for upgrades, while others opt to store the weapons so they won't go back into circulation. That's all the news I have for you today. So please join, hopefully, Jerry and Bernie next week at the same time as they read the USA Today Weekend Edition, the Opinions and Money section. Thank you for listening.